Okay. Everybody talk, please.
Sounding off, this is Jane over here in the UK.
Hello. This is Frog, not in the UK.
This is August at the beach.
This is Dirk at breakfast.
Were you able to hear all of them, pack bats? I can't open the Twitch stream and check for myself because then you just get horrible.
I got you. I'm just waiting for the delay.
Yeah.
These are our new introductions. Do you like them?
Oh! Okay, Ashley says they can't. All right. August, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. In that case, take two, this time with more feeling. Welcome to Chapter 2 of The Ultraviolet Catastrophe, a five-part miniseries brought to you by Standing Stones Productions and Hearthside Enclave. Today we're playing House by Marnes, a game which is, unsurprisingly, about a house. I'm August. You can find me on Twitter at Harvey Dora and on Tumblr at Strange Harpy, and my pronouns are they, them. Playing with me today, as always, is Danielle.
Hi, I continue to be Danielle. I use she, they pronouns, and you can find me on the internet at Redtail Talk 90.
We also have Dirk.
Hello, I'm Dirk. You can find me at Hope's Hearth Pod. You can also find me at PF Diva in various places. I use they, he, and fae pronouns.
Jade.
Hi, I'm Jade. I'm going to say my introduction correctly this time, and you will never know that I messed up take one. You can find me on the internet at jadeoxidrose, and I use they, them pronouns.
And finally, bringing up the rear in the anchor position, because that's how the alphabet works, we have Shrog.
Hello, my name is Shrog. My pronouns are he, him. You can find me on the internet at The Secret Frog or just Secret Frog, depending on where you are attempting to find me.
Our lines, things that we absolutely do not want to see, are homophobia and transphobia, racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, violence against children and animals, sexual assault, domestic violence or intimate partner violence, unwanted pregnancy, plagues and pandemics, and alcohol abuse. Our veils, which are things we're fine with addressing but will just fade to black on. Our steamy situations, graphic descriptions of bodily harm, and terminal illness. With all that out of the way, let's get started. And assuming that we're all good, we're going to start by gathering or by deciding what the exterior of the house that we find ourselves in looks like. I know we briefly touched on the interior, but the game does say that we need to establish the exterior of the house. Is it old, new? Do you often see cars coming and going from the driveway? Is there a picket fence around the perimeter or just a mailbox at the end of a long gravel driveway? Is there a swing set in the yard? How many floors does it have? Where are the windows?
Did I space out or have we introduced the game?
We introduced the game at the top.
Okay, thank you.
It was very brief. It's a game called House. It's about a house. That's the premise.
Yeah. But I mean,
so to be fair, you could have been like shooing a cat away and missed the description given is my point. There is no one at fault here, not the description giver or missing the description.
I gave the description that's in the text. It literally says the first thing. Yeah. So we can blame Marn.
Good games.
But yeah, we very briefly touched on the interior, which we may retcon depending on how we're feeling. But the first thing that the game requests that we describe is the exterior of the house. I'm always a fan of like older, more decrepit looking houses, but it could also be fun if this is like a new construction on the exterior. I'm open to whatever.
I have a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So in my area, it's a college town, so there's always apartment complexes and stuff going up. What if this is like one of the first houses in what is eventually going to be like a suburby area? But right now there's like one house and a bunch of empty field.
Like the model house that they sell the houses that haven't been built yet based on.
I have one more element to this pitch. I think it should look just modern enough that the old versions of our characters would not be familiar with this kind of architecture.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I have in my mind an image of like a townhome almost, but like very boxy and square with square windows. I don't know the style of the architecture, but it's something that I see a lot in places that are being developed in and around the area of Atlanta that I live in, where it's very boxy and very not brutalist, but you know, squared off, not any soft edges, no curves. Just something, you know, very modern. What color is it? Is it like bland or is it garish?
I think it should be bland. Yeah. Like not even that awful beige, but like that awful blue.
That kind of like muted blue gray.
Yeah.
Love it. How many windows does it have and where are they?
I feel like there is at least one on the front.
I think it's got a big bay window on the living room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a note of where the windows are because I will forget.
Oh, well, Dirk, I wouldn't worry too much about that given the nature of the game.
Well, yeah, but I like the big bay window. I want to do something with it later.
Okay, you could just make a note that there is a bay window. It doesn't have to correlate. For those who maybe aren't familiar with the game House, not to spoil anything, the House of Leaves is a big point of inspiration for it. So, it's fucked up houses is the vibe. I'm not just saying this to mess with Doug.
It's a game about if there existed a house and it either hated you or loved you. Is really the way that I like to look at it. But yeah, House of Leaves, the architecture doesn't have to abide by the rules that we think it does. So
it doesn't have to abide by any rules.
Mm-hmm.
And because of who we are as people, almost definitely will not.
The next step is we decide on our characters. I think, you know, as you can probably guess, both from the overlay and the fact that this is chapter two, we are reprising some roles from our previous game. I will be playing Marius, Thank the Gods for Small Favors. They use they, them pronouns. Their look is a short, willowy person with pale skin and sharp features. They have long brown hair that's typically kept in a tight braid, and their fashion style tends towards neutral colors and turtlenecks. In their previous existence, They were considered to be a disgraced scientist. Right now, we'll see what happens. So going down the line, Danielle, tell us about your character.
I am playing Talonor Jezrin, who uses he or they pronouns. His look is he's built like a brick house, not especially tall, but solid and muscular, extremely battle scarred, has a nose that's clearly been broken several times. Expression is almost always severe. Bright blue eyes, short dark hair that's graying at the roots and temples, and he wears hearing aids.
Dirk.
Sorry. One second.
how about we'll come back to you and go to Jade?
Yeah, so my character is Delphine O'Reilly. Not that any of you know that their first name is Delphine, because they never use it. Tall, on the lean side, paler skin, grey-green eyes, handful of freckles, looks in very much in need of more sleep than they get. Mostly shaved head, but with faded indigo bangs up front, and dresses like a punk on laundry day.
Dirk.
Yes. I am playing Rebel Vanguard, who uses Zazem pronouns. Rebel is a tall Mask of Center Pacific Islander. Definitely rocking the short dress under a cool jacket look. Rebel has like a shaved head, except for the top bit, which is definitely doing sort of a Janelle Monáe thing, except, you know, Rebel's not black. Their hair is dyed blue, and it's a little wavy. It's very cute because of who I choose to be as a person. And in their previous life, Rebel was a visionary and also sort of a secretary.
And Trog.
So I am playing Vivian Blackthorn, uses they, them pronouns. White person with this just beyond shoulder length red hair, a little more vibrant than the Picrew allows for. Yeah, tends to wear a lot of red, things that are generally very practical. Right now they've got a leather jacket on. They are very muscular and very, very pretty. I need this to be true in every universe.
It's very good.
As is your right.
Yes.
Should we maybe, I know we're going to get into a little bit about why these people are here. For the sake of, these are the people you saw. If you watch chapter one, these are very much the same people, but also.
I wanted to get into that next, because one of the next questions that we have to ask is how do we know each other? And, you know, if you watch chapter one, you're already pretty familiar with how we knew each other. If you didn't, quick Cliff's Notes. We were all working on some experimentation with some semi-sentient fungus to replicate their mycelial structure to use for teleportation over long distances. We were all in the thick of that when everything got shut down. We decided to take matters into our own hands at the end and perform a field test with what we had discovered. And after a blinding flash of light, we found ourselves in the house.
In some ways, you could say it was a very successful field test. In other ways, maybe not so much.
Yeah. But as I said, one of the questions is, how do we know each other? And the thing about it is, one of the things that is really strange, we know each other from that, but we also have other memories of how we came to know each other and how we came to be here. We find ourselves in a situation where our memories are doubled. We remember the experiment. We remember what happened, but we also have these other memories that are ours, but not. And these are the memories that I kind of want to go over with the next couple of questions. How do we know each other in the house?
I have plans, if I may. Some things here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vivian sort of takes a little bit of charge here, and turns to Talonor. What I want to know first of all is, do you think he still has the same title in this world? Is he still a general?
I think that in this world, I gotta look up fucking military titles.
Chief Master Sergeant Jezreel.
Oh my god.
It's just a different title.
Oh god, he's not army.
Is he in a different military branch, but it's the same level rank? Or is it the same military branch, but a lower or higher rank?
I think it's the same then military branch, but it's somewhat lower.
Sure, I'll give us a military title lower than general.
All of them?
Or colonel, sorry. Pick one, the middling one, then.
Colonel means you've been in for a good number of years.
Someone who has been here for a long time and has been in charge of people.
Sergeant, I think full then, colonel or makes captain. Sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay.
Okay.
You can. I'm saying this with experience with folks in the Air Force, but I believe they use equivalent ranks to the Army. It only takes a few, for a certain definition of a few, years to make captain. I think Vivian approaches Talonor. I'm not sure if they're necessarily the first to kind of shake this off. But they are the first to recognize, okay, this is happening. I have to roll with this to some extent. Mm-hmm. And so they will extend their hand and say, Colonel Jezreel, we spoke on the phone, and you did say you were bringing some consultants with you. I'm from the property management company. Fee.
Yo, that's me.
Vivian doesn't know that you are aware that this is bullshit. Vivian is not with the property management company. But,
interesting.
But is pretending to be.
Okay. If you did miss last week's, nobody knows this in character. Fee is a telepath, a mind reader, a psychic, however you want to think of it. And that hasn't stopped being true in this new place.
Oh, God, that's deeply upsetting. Poor Fee.
Yeah, no, it is. They are currently looking like they have a migraine.
I wonder why.
Who can say? but has pulled a pair of sunglasses out of a jacket pocket and put them on. Fee is here as a medium.
Naturally.
The thing is, ghosts and the like leave strong enough psychic impressions that Fee's telepathy can pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell people they're a telepath. As far as people are concerned, Fee can talk to ghosts if they believe that to be true. They aren't out to swindle people. They've probably got a pretty decent reputation for helping, like, law enforcement. Well, no, actually, no. No version of Fee would work with law enforcement. the record. Maybe with, like, private detectives and stuff like that. But genuinely likes helping people. So, or at least this is the sort of onslaught of thoughts and memories that are hitting them in this moment, while they try to ignore the fact that everyone is dealing with the same thing right now. Talador hired Fee for their expertise, I guess.
I think it may be a case that if you're all right with this, Jade, I think it may be the case that Marius and Fee were hired as a package deal, because you've got the medium who's here to ostensibly talk to ghosts and tell whether a place is haunted, which, you know, LOL. But then you've got Marius for the more practical side of things. Like, is this door haunted or is it just hung poorly? Kind of thing. So it's, since they worked together previously, maybe they work together now as a team to tackle hauntings in this case.
Yeah, maybe this universe's Marius will go on to be a successful YouTube show. Who knows?
I was going to ask if Marius felt like someone was missing.
Two someones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate you both.
We don't know who Marius has back home.
This is true.
This is true.
But I feel like this Marius probably is not tempered by Kari, so.
Fair.
So is worse.
Sorry, go ahead, Danielle.
Dirk, is Rebel part of Talonor's team?
Or no? Sort of, but sort of not. So the thing is that by coincidence, Rebel has met and interacted with everybody in the crew before all of us ended up here. It's been separate instances that are appropriate to everyone. So I think Rebel just sort of is friends with Talonor separately. And maybe they got to talking about this. I don't know how they came on this subject, but like Rebel is just here because, you know, Talonor is like, oh, I'm going to be doing this thing. And Rebel is like, oh, hey, can I come along? I guess, sure. And, so Rebel has like separately interacted with everyone before now, and it's been like coincidental things, like well enough to know everybody's names, but not like super close interactions, except maybe with Fee, but maybe not. I don't know. But
so then, is this a situation where it's like, oh, look, you're also here, or is it like you have come with us?
Well, yeah, I think I've come with you all, specifically with Talonor, but I'm not like hired to do anything.
Okay.
I just
but you have shown up with us.
Yeah.
So I think Talonor takes Vivian's hand. He hesitated for a moment, but seems at least outwardly recovers quickly. Takes Vivian's hand, shakes it, and says, yes, we, so you obviously, you know who I am. This is Dr. Marius Favors, our chief science officer. And I always mix O'Reilly, who is our chief supernatural officer. And Mix Vanguard. And he doesn't give like a title because he
And I think at this point in time Rebel is like half bent over, like breathing from like their inhaler, and pauses for a moment to be like, I'm here. Hello.
Does they look like they're Zet on top of it? Like they've got it handled? It's just
yeah. It's just one of those like catching your breath moments. So
gotcha.
All right. So we've answered a couple of the other questions that we have at the start already. So the next thing that I want to ask us, what do we bring? And is this broad daylight or the dead of night?
I always like it when these things are like bright day.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it always feels like more practical. Like, why do people go investigate places at night? Unless they're stupid or asking for trouble. Shout out to the group of characters who I first played house with, because they were dumbasses.
Valid.
It was Halloween, you know how it'd be. But yeah, I like that it's just sort of one of those sort of overcast but not cold mornings. The sun is there, but it's got that sort of hazy, almost grayish quality where like a fine layer of cloud is over it. So it's the sort of where you can actually look at the sun because there's enough cloud obscuring it, but you can still see it. And it's like that middling sort of temperature. Woman after you only need a light jacket kind of a vibe.
Oh yeah.
I dig it.
Yep.
And in terms of stuff with them, Fee has like a little whiteboard, like a dry erase board with a couple of markers, like on a little sling, kind of like you have with like iPad cases, like it's that, but there's literally just like a little whiteboard in there. The sunglasses they have on, little pouch of salt. Sometimes you have to look the part. There's definitely a couple of crystals. They do nothing, but people expect there to be crystals, so there's crystals.
I think Rebel has
right here.
Rebel has their jacket, which has decently deep pockets and a fanny pack.
Incredible.
That has, like, you know how you see those, like, collars, those black collars with, like, the studs in them, like the goth ones? Somebody has made a neon pink fanny pack goth, because it's very, very funny. And I'm going to play by Forged in the Dark rules for the fanny pack. It has miscellaneous things that will turn out to be useful later.
Spend one hold. I don't think Marius has much in the way of equipment or anything like that. Just because of, I don't know. I think it's just because of who they are as a person. They choose to come in and like eyeball things and use their apply their expertise primarily without any sort of implements. It's on some level, I think maybe it's like showing off. I don't need anything fancy for me to be able to tell what's wrong with this building. So
maybe a flashlight?
Yeah. Maybe a flashlight and a little pocket level.
Mm-hmm. Good. I think the only thing that Talonor has on him is like a Swiss Army knife kind of deal. I don't think it's the stereotypical Swiss Army knife, but I think it is similar. Like, it is a flip-open knife that also has, like a small screwdriver and a couple other small utility type things.
Except spend one hold.
Yeah. Except not like a bottle opener or anything. Just like
Vivian has a ring of what are definitely keys and not at all lockpicks. I think they also have a small bag of tools with them. And is this too weird to have? Yeah, but I think they have it anyway. I think they have a small, like, hand axe like, at their hip.
Legit, you thought you were going to say a sword. So really, that was very restrained of you, is my point.
No, they use axes anyway.
Hot. I mean, what? I know what I'm about, son.
Is it weirder if it's at their hip or hidden on their back? What do we think, gang?
I think on the back would be weirder.
Yeah, okay. Because it's more difficult to reach.
All right. So the final steps are to draw a square symbolizing the front room of the house on the bottom edge of our drawing implement, which we have done. And we decide as a group what the front room looks like. And I think previously I had described it as a kind of large foyer with a carpet and stairs leading up to the next floor. But that was mostly for the mood. So we can have that as we fade in and our consciousnesses come into being here. We can have that shift to be whatever we want to start with. Just kind of like a hazy mirage, just kind of dissolving into where we currently stand.
Well, I kind of like the idea that we're in like some sort of foyer, mm-hmm. where like there are stairs that lead up. Like, we're not even properly in the house yet, but stairs like to the left of the door that lead up, and then maybe like a little hallway in front of us or a door to the right, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Are things still kind of drab? You know, that I have a great disdain for the kind of modern tendency for grays and like just, it feels very soulless, and I'm assuming, you know, based on the outside, the inside, the foyer would be similar.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a picture on one of the walls, and I think what it actually is a picture of, I'm going to say, Erwin, Parker, Ishak, and Morden all, like, grinning at the camera. And so, like, various levels of however they're going to smile at the camera. But I think it's fun if there's just something weird there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this house has to be staged. Because it is the show house. And so you've got like an entry table that in reality would just gather shit because it's right in the entryway. But in this staged house is like clean and has like a bouquet of fake flowers on it. Like high quality fake flowers. And I don't think things look like very dusty or dirty. At least not in this room.
Yeah, but this room is immaculate. Mm-hmm. It is like the platonic ideal of a soulless modern foyer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next thing that we do is we draw a square of any size connecting to one side of the square you made for your front room. We decide together what sort of room it is, and we draw a card to set the scene that plays out in that room. So where do we want to go from here, folks? We've got a couple of options.
I will
go ahead.
I will say down is out. Like the downward facing face of this square is the exit to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how things have to fit on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Marius kind of turns to Vivian, and is like, as the representative from the property management company, I trust your judgment in this particular tour. But they're looking a little baffled at the picture on the wall.
I think Rebel is definitely eyeballing Vivian and isn't going to say anything, but the expression is very much, okay, I see what you're doing.
I think Zay ran into Vivian briefly in a moment that was definitely like, you were diverted from your normal path in a way that bumped you into Vivian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming Vivian... Something just nudged you in that direction. Who can say what?
And I presume Vivian was doing something shady at that point in time.
Yes? Not necessarily shady, but I think something that just barely tips Rebel off that their current story is probably not true.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The telepathy is on.
Is Rebel also a fucking telepath?
No, I was making a joke.
Okay. I was going to say... Fuck both of you.
No, I like to joke when I'm on the same wavelength as other people that the telepathy is on.
Yeah. I think Vivian will lead you in, but not like up. So not up the stairs, but through the hall. Upstairs we have obviously the sleeping arrangements, but obviously for where you'll have guests, we should show you the main rooms in here. Also looks at the picture on the wall, is distracted for a hot second, tries to push past it.
Do we want to go ahead and draw the...
Yeah, I will draw a card.
And draw the square.
Sorry, I missed it. Which direction did you say we were going?
I should draw a thing. So through the foyer into some kind of main room that's like past the stairs. So we're not taking the stairs. Okay. We're staying on the same floor. Perfect. As far as we know.
Thank you.
Can we make these a little smaller just because I suspect we're going to need more room?
Yeah, I
got that. That is fair. Wait, can you not resize?
You can.
You have to use the select tool to grab it and then...
Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay. I'm not seeing a little drag on the corners. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I got it. Shrog, draw a card.
Oh boy. Okay. We got Mace of Spades. We have physical conflict, suffering, doubt, fear, danger, grief, alienation, and this is an unexpected obstacle. Great.
Good thing you've got that hand axe, huh?
Uh-huh.
So, let's decide what the room looks like first, and then we can figure out how that leads to an unexpected obstacle that leads to some sort of physical conflict. I think it's too soon for things to start getting super gnarly. So I think it's a main room, the main room, maybe. And anyone stop me if you have any other thoughts, but maybe with like that kind of like gray wood laminate flooring with a like a very drab sort of throw rug in the center of the room, and then an artfully arranged sofa and love seat combination. Maybe there's a fireplace. Just like I said, I have such disdain for a lot of the modern sensibilities here. So just very, very soulless.
The sofa and love seat are arranged in ways that look a little more pleasing, but also that would be extremely inconvenient for actually living in that space. Like, it's spaced just barely wrong.
The only unexpected obstacle I can think is we get into this room and there's no exits. Like the wall, you know, there where there should be doors are just like blank walls. Or maybe, you know, staged photographs on the walls, but no doors that we can see. But I'm not sure how that would lead to a physical conflict unless...
Well, it may not lead to a physical conflict, but it could definitely lead to doubt and fear or confusion, which I think still is in the...
alienation.
Yeah,
you don't have to hit all the beats. They're just there to... Yeah, it's about mood. Rather than it being prescriptive.
So... And do we all go in, or...
I think it's a bit early for us to be splitting the party.
Just wanted to check.
Yeah.
In that case, I think like Rebel follows everybody in and then like immediately flops on to the love seat. And like flops down and then like does that thing where you realize, oh no, this is not as comfortable as it looks.
I think it noticing that there are not exits where there should be, I think Vivian drops a little bit of pretense and goes over to, like, I think there are still, like, squares of wall where there should be a door that don't have anything on it. So I think Vivian is going to go over to one of them and just, like, knock at that portion of wall. I think what happens is it not only sounds like there's something behind it, but it sounds like extremely hollow. Like it is incredibly resonant when they put their ear to it. As if there were just like an enormous tunnel behind it.
Nice.
May I add a detail?
Mm-hmm.
Vivian's not sure 100%, but, you know, sounding like there's an enormous tunnel on the other side, maybe there's something that sounds like possibly footsteps on the other side, but Vivian's not entirely sure. It could just be their imagination.
I like it.
I think Rebel is going to sarcastically lampshade the fact that there are no doors and say, so obviously this is one of those very special houses, one of those very special smart houses that can just, you know, make doors go away if you don't want to have visitors. Is that right? And they are definitely looking at Vivian.
Oh, they get a dirty look. a dirty look that is just a shade too familiar. As in, like, Vivian being too familiar at mm-hmm. them.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, necessarily as in you've seen that look before.
Yeah.
I think Marius just kind of, like, looks around, you know, with their eyes narrowed and says, this is not a terribly impressive model house.
I don't know why that tickled me like that.
So, where do we want to go from here? Is the archway or doorway we came through behind us, is it still there? Or has that disappeared as well?
I think it's fun if it goes to somewhere else.
Do we want to see where it goes?
Sure. Sounds good. Like, we double back and we're just not in the foyer. We're in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just drawing a square, hypothetically, like, kind of next to the foyer, but that's not...
Yeah.
It's not 100% accurate, but it gets the job done. Tell me, ping where you want me to put it.
I think you should just have it overlap the foyer just a little bit.
Hmm.
Like that?
Yeah. It's a different... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different color as well, so it should be pretty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Readable.
Okay. So, with Marius's scathing comment, we double back. Where do we find ourselves now?
I mean, do you want to take it, August? If Shrug did the first one, we sort of loop him back in alphabetical order of the players. Mm-hmm. If you want to draw the card.
Yeah, we can do that. Jack of Hearts. Jack is a message received, and Hearts is love, friendship, compromise, bonding, and obsession. Oh boy, that's an interesting one coming off of the last one.
What if it's like a telephone room? Like, you know how in some big houses people will just have a nook?
Mm-hmm.
Or they used to. And for any younger people watching or listening, there once was a time where we had phones in our houses. And people would ring the house. truly a simpler time. But yeah, what if it is like a small, like almost like an antechamber that's got like an easy chair and a table with like a Bakelite phone on it and like a little pad next to it for taking messages and a lamp. Mm-hmm. This is based on something at my grandma's house, to be clear.
I think it's fun if... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just it's like part of... Technically, it's just you walk through this as you go down the hall to the extension that they built on the back of the house. So, but yeah, just a little nook. No natural light. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a lamp. Like, because it is this alcovey sort of feel to it.
I think it's fun if we maintain like the modern aesthetic, but
sure.
the Bakelite phone is the sole piece of decor that
it's clearly
is out
a reproduction,
place.
Like a hipster Bakelite, like
yeah,
like it's like anachronistic to the point of it looking deliberately so, like is an it, aesthetic choice.
Is it like made to look like a rotary phone, except instead of being a rotary phone, the buttons are all like arranged in a circle as though it were a rotary phone?
Yeah. That kind of vibe. Absolutely. Like from a distance, you think, oh, is that a Bakelite? You get to it and it's like, no, it is not.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
So I mean, Chekhov's phone obviously has to ring. Mm-hmm. And whomst among us answers it?
I mean, I think Vivian would want to maintain some veneer of cover. Unless someone else dives for it first.
No. Marius just arches an eyebrow and glances around.
Hey, Shrog, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, here, I need to type something in the chat real quick.
Please hold.
Okay. Not a bad idea, but I don't know if I like that right now.
I have an idea.
Okay. Basically, just who am I going to be handing the phone to?
Ooh, that's a much better idea.
Okay. So Vivian will pick up the phone. Vivian speaking from Vancroft Realty. Yes. Yes, just one moment. And hands the phone to Marius.
Marius looks at Vivian yes, like they've grown a second head, but takes the phone, but doesn't hold it up yet.
There's Dr. Rucker for you.
I think there's a moment of confusion on Marius's face because House Marius doesn't know a Dr. Rucker, but obviously Marius knows Dr. Rucker from before, and so they slowly put the phone up to their ear and say, "This is Marius."
Dr. Favors, I'm so glad I found this number pinned to that old corkboard. I'm glad it worked. Are you guys coming back?
Of course we're coming back. Don't be ridiculous. This isn't going to take and this isn't going to be an all-day excursion. We'll be returning within a few hours, I'm sure.
Oh, okay, good. Because the university's been asking some really pointed questions. And I am not sure how long we can keep them occupied.
University. I think Erwin hears Maria say university, but I don't know. Like, if Erwin gives a response, I kind of feel like it's staticky.
Yeah.
Or the line cuts off completely.
I think it's staticky, but it's, like, gradually increasing static until you just can't understand what he's saying anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. And Marius, like, hangs up the phone, their hands a little shaky, and they say, I don't know who that was, but it seems that we are expected back soon. So we should perhaps get moving. And there's like a look of obvious like confusion on their face, like they're not sure exactly what they're saying, or like it's kind of like an autopilot kind of thing while mm-hmm. they're processing what they just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think Rebel is going to point and say, why don't we go that way? And I'm going to draw a circle in this fabulous neon green. This is ridiculous. So I'm going to say... Yeah. That-ish. And, I'm gonna say the room we go into is, it's a kitchen. And, in much the same way that the phone nook was so anachronistic, it circles back around to very modern. I think the kitchen is similar. It's sort of like meant to convey like a 50s vibe, but it's like it's very obviously modern stuff. Everything is very clean and new. And you've got like, I don't know. There's probably like stuff on like the walls, like, you know, like cute pot holders. And maybe there's one cabinet that has like a glass front and you can see some decorative dishes. And, I will draw a card. Oh, we got five of, that is not what I meant to do.
I forgot I have to select things. Please don't look at me like this.
I got you.
Ah, thank you. I will leave it alone. So, spades is, again, physical conflict, suffering, doubt, fear, danger, grief, alienation. And five is a critical misunderstanding.
So you said the kitchen has like an almost retro 50s vibe to it?
Mm-hmm.
May I add the detail that like the appliances all like match and are like a retro mint green?
That's horrible. I love it.
What do you mean that's horrible? I love the retro mint green color. It's very cute.
I love and respect you and everything you choose to be. But, yeah, so.
Is this standard?
Sorry, say that again?
Marius is just like, is this standard? Like the kitchen. And that's no, kind I of aimed at Vivian.
It's standard.
And, Marius, like, looks at Fee.
What?
I'm trying to think how Marius would phrase this, because they're not, like, you know, obviously they're not, like, the most, like, hip to, other people's emotions, but they're like wanting to check in on Fee in their own way. I think the closest I can think of to the vibe I'm wanting is just like Marius kind of like looking at Fee and being like, do you have a status report?
Fee sort of makes that sort of, when you're like kissing your teeth noise, like, not yet. I'm still trying to figure something out. Aside from the fact that somebody has an interesting taste in staging show homes. It's strange. Also, yeah, no, actually, fuck it. And that's in character. That's not me, Jade, saying that. Mm-hmm. Fee is going to, like, perch on the edge of, like, the little breakfast nook table and look at everybody. And just be like... So are we going to talk about the fact that we have two sets of memories right now? Because I know that street outside. I know that I work for Talador at the moment. And I also know that less than... looks at watch. I don't know, I'm looking on my watch, but not that long ago we were standing in a field doing a field test. Are people just not talking about it? Should I not say anything? Are we just pretending we're on a house tour?
Marius, like, still kind of a little shaken, says, "It makes no sense. The best that we can do is proceed forward and hope that this resolves itself."
Okay. Everyone else sort of rolling with the let's wait and see.
Rebel is opening the fridge and looking in it.
I think there's something in the fridge, but I don't know if it's what you would expect. How about another telephone in the fridge? It's not hooked up to anything, but
it's beeping all the same.
I can't believe that we have diegetic sound effects.
Yeah. Sorry about that. We could always use the Discord soundboard.
Maybe it makes a noise like a phone that's off the hook, but it only makes that noise when the fridge door is open.
Mm.
Like, you close the fridge again and put your ear against it, it's not making the noise. You open the fridge door, beep, 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 but...
Yeah, no, Rebel is definitely doing exactly that. Close the door, listen, open the door again, close the door one more time, open it back up, takes the phone out of the fridge.
What if when Zay put it up to Zay ear, they just hear the conversation that's happening in the room around them, but a little bit on a delay?
That's deeply
like disturbing. They're hearing a recording being played back of what? Maybe, hey, like a Twitch stream, you know?
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Yeah, same.
Cool. So, where do we go from here? I think we accidentally skipped Danielle.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I think that Talonor hasn't said anything this whole time. He's been walking with the same expression the whole time, unchanging, hands behind his back, very much a kind of just observing what's around him, stoic type of expression. He when they get to the kitchen, and Fee kind of like makes this statement about two memories. I think he I don't think he responds right away. I think, you know, Rebel says what Zay say. And he is clearly observing everybody else and like what everybody else's reaction to that is. And I think eventually, he just kind of shakes his head, and he says, "We're not here just for a house tour. We're here to investigate the developer's claims of forces that are stymieing their construction efforts. So we need to focus on the task at hand. So we can do our jobs." Completely ignoring the idea of them having another set of memories. And as previously, I don't think Fee can tell what he's thinking.
Yeah, I was working under the assumption that Fee was just making a wild guess about a Talonor. As opposed to everybody else.
Yeah. And I think as the others are kind of investigating the fridge phone, the frone, if you will.
Oh, God.
I will not. I hate it.
Thank you.
No offense, Ashlyn. No, it's a good joke. I just hate it.
I think he kind of steps up to Fee and like gestures in a almost like an after you sort of gesture to like hop down off the counter and head through the door to the next room in a way that's like, come this way with me. Okay. Do they go with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Shrog, I'm sorry, but I have to kick you off of the stream. So I'm going to draw another room here. No, here. Yeah. And I want to draw a card first. I drew the Eight of Hearts.
Great.
A vicious fight, oh, God. But love, friendship, compromise, bonding, obsession. Cool. So I think for the purposes of this, at least the beginning of this scene, the others have momentarily stayed behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, actually, no, I think this is the main room again. And we've come into the main room in the same place that we had come into the main room the previous time.
Very good. Very good.
I think there is another door out this time.
Do you want to put a red square within the orange square of main room? Just yeah. So we can...
That's too big. And I don't think that Talonor clocks at first that they're in the main room again, because I think his attention is on Fee. And I think he's very cognizant of how intimidating he is. So I don't think
sure
he steps like over close or like crowds into their space. But I think he does step closer and speak in a quieter tone. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And I am concerned for multiple reasons. But the thing I'm most concerned about right now is not these other memories, but whatever the fuck this house is doing. Because something is extremely not right.
Yeah, I noticed that. Gestures to the room around them.
He, like, rubs at his forehead. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence or anything of the sort. I'm just saying that I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe they are connected, but I would really...
You've got your priorities. I get it. But you do have them too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
I think he looks like he's going to say something. But then the others follow into the room.
Mm.
And he kind of cuts off and takes a step back. And I think when we got here, I can't remember. Did Vivian introduce themselves?
I don't remember if I said I did. They would have.
Okay.
I should have if I did not.
And I think he looks over at Vivian and he says, Mix Blackthorn, I think there's something wrong with your house.
Yes, I'm starting to get that impression.
Rebel just laughs. It's like one of those ha sorts of sounds when Talonor says that.
And I think Talonor is like, all right, we're here to investigate this sort of thing. So let's actually do this in a more methodical manner than just wandering from room to room, because that doesn't appear to be getting us anywhere. And I think he goes over to the new door that appeared, or that is in this room now where there wasn't one. I think it's in the same spot that Vivian was listening at earlier. And I think there is... He keeps, like, sniffing, because, like, you know when you catch a whiff of something that's just like, where the fuck did that come from? I think he keeps catching a whiff of something. Huh. And he frowns, and he says, I don't think we should necessarily split up because, I don't know what would happen in construction like this, but, perhaps we should start some experiments.
Fee will also pull the little whiteboard up in front of them and sketch out a map very much like what is currently on Roll20.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of like where they've been so far, what doors will wear.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel we have had a vicious fight?
Not really.
How are we getting there?
I have a thought. I think, while Fee is, like, drawing the map, Rebel just says, okay, let's say what rooms we want to find.
I don't like that phrasing coming from you.
I think Marius pipes up and is like, it's an interesting proposition.
Well, I'm sure it's going to do something. And I sure would love to see an extra very spooky space where all of the weirdest shit is happening. That sounds A-plus to me.
I think Fee looks at Rebel with this look of, why the fuck are you like this? Oh, wait, no. I know why you're like this. And fuck. So, what are Jupiter's pronouns?
What are whose pronouns?
Jibber.
Jibber.
Oh,
sorry. That's the British accent. Sorry. I already got corrected on the pronunciation last time, but it will just sound different with the way I enunciate.
Nope, you're good.
No worries. And just like, and I know what he's like. Don't you think we've got enough to be getting on with? Faith will say out loud without bringing another element into things.
And so in the kitchen, Rebel, like, very, it wasn't pointedly, didn't answer Fee's question, but yeah. Like, in the movie version of this, it's very obvious that Rebel did not answer that question.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, obviously, Fee knows.
Yeah. And, like, I think Rebel just sort of... it's not even, like, a squint to Rebel... just sort of looks at Fee. What do you know about him?
Enough. As in, knows enough, not is telling you to stop speaking enough.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'll continue. You ever read much Discworld, Rebel?
And Rebel pauses, and like you can see on their face, they are trying to remember if they've read Discworld, and like Fee can also like tell that Rebel is like searching for what that is and getting like very conflicting responses from two different universes.
Yeah, Fee is feeling a little smug about it, because if Rebel's not gonna share, it's all good.
And Rebel says it's not important. I'm helping.
My point is that in the early books, they have this sort of rule about how you don't say a certain goddess's name. You just call her the lady. You do not say her name, because to invite her has every chance of fucking you up as much as it does having things go your way. Sound familiar?
And Rebel just sort of gives Fee like one of those blank looks. Not like, I don't understand what you're saying, but like Fee can...
like deliberately impassive kind of thing.
Yeah, it is big bold letters in Rebel's head. You super don't understand gibber. They don't say that, but
doesn't need to say it out loud. And Fee's eyes narrow. Like I said, I understand enough. They don't say that out loud. You hear them say it in your head. And they flip Zem the bird and go off through the door. As I have yet to call a card.
I need you to know that Rebel is panicking so much right now.
Good for Zem. Good news, guys. Another spade. I shuffled this deck like 3 times. So another message, and physical conflict, suffering, doubt, fears, dangers, grief, or alienation. I think what this is less a room and more like a staircase going up. Sort of like how in certain big stately homes, and that would have like the main stairs up front and then like the servants' stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that sort of vibe. And it's this flight of stairs going up. And I think stepping into this space and starting to move upstairs, Fee just gets hit with this wave of flickering emotions that aren't any of the rest of the group. I think this is the first time of getting something like this in this house. For them.
May I add a detail?
Please.
I don't know if Fee hears this, but
in the movie version of this, there is definitely a Dopplering scream. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that horror movie sound of like when the music swells?
Yeah.
Except it's a scream that sounds like that before sharply cutting off.
Cool. Great. Love that.
What's the lighting situation like? Did you already describe that?
I didn't
that?
Say the lighting, no. What if it's got like that, not strip lighting, but where how under each step there's like a little spotlight, those little round like LED spots to make them safer to go up and down and stuff, because there's no windows, again. Mm-hmm. You can maybe see a little light at the top, but it's maybe, and it's not a super long flight of stairs, but yeah, just like every other step, there's like LED, like little round LED stair lights.
May I suggest that there are sconces, but there are no bulbs in them?
In addition to the ones that I just,
Just like, you know, because you've got the stair lighting and then maybe a couple of wall sconces, and it's like, why aren't the wall sconces on? They don't have any bulbs in them. Ah, okay. That wasn't, thank you for the clarifying picture. That wasn't quite what I was imagining when you described it, but that makes it make a lot more sense.
That wasn't quite what I was trying to describe, but that was a better way of picturing it for me. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners who can't see, it's like the lights are actually on the wall, but at the level of the stair, casting like a small amount of light on the stairs, like either side. I think Fee just sort of partially stumbles up the stairs just because of the force of everything that's coming in. And they don't clock it, but they definitely, because I am a basic bitch who loves me a trope, definitely nose is starting to bleed with all of it. Ears a little bit too.
Nice.
I think Talonor follows them up the stairs, and when he sees that they're bleeding, he offers them a handkerchief. Because he's the kind of motherfucker to have a handkerchief, I guess.
Of course they are.
We love and respect.
Fee takes it. Starts dabbing a little at the blood under their nose. And looks at them and says, well, there's definitely something going on here. There is a lot of feedback happening. I don't know if it's reacting to us or if it's what was here anyway. Maybe it's what the construction company encountered and that's what's kept them off. But it's not great.
His brow furrows a bit. Do we need to get you out?
No, it just caught me in by surprise. It's okay.
He nods. Offers an arm for stability if they want it.
I think they'll use it to sort of pull themselves back up to fully standing, because where they sort of stumbled a little bit, and then we'll just like pat his incredibly large arm. just so much bicep.
Yep.
Just like fucking, it's like pulling on an iron, like no give, just very strong. I'm so amused that you say built like a brick house, and I don't know whether that's just how Americans tend to say that or whether you, Danielle, are censoring it a little bit.
Well, yes,
I am. Okay. That's fine. You are allowed to do that. But it is so weird to hear that phrasing. Totally charming, because I would not shy away from describing somebody as being built like a brick shit house. because I am a classy gent from a classy part of the UK. It's a good show. Either way, loud screamy hallway. I think Shrug, it's your turn.
Okay.
Did someone pull this other card that's hanging out down here?
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it back in the deck.
Oh. Let's put that one back.
I'll take it, because I don't think you can just put them back.
And I don't know who all followed Fee, but I do want to specifically say that Rebel did not.
Vivian will follow at this point. I think maybe they were trying to eavesdrop on the tail end of that conversation. They've got reasons for things. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
So I feel like the next place we go is the room that's at the top of the stairs. The like hallway up there. I am going to draw before figuring out what the tone of this room is, because I think that makes sense to me. Hey, it's not a spade.
Hey.
I mean, it is. Oh, this is a fun Vivian. One. Love this. It's a seven of clubs. An echo from the past of emotional conflict, hidden agendas, envy, indecision, or betrayal.
Excellent. Excellent
club. Great. Yeah. I think this is the kind of hallway where you have several doors leading off of it. It's just the landing at the top of the stairs. And there are several different places that you could go from here. I think Fee is not the only one who is hearing voices now.
I would like to add a detail that there is a modern-looking sideboard that has nothing on it except for a single vase that has a single wilted rose in it. But like the petals are faded, so you can't even really tell what color the rose was supposed to have been in life.
I think too that maybe Vivian starts getting a whiff of what Talanor was, which is just like, you know how sometimes you get that smell of dampness?
Nodding.
Just like not quite full mildewy smell, but just like, that doesn't seem right.
Um,
I would also like to add a detail.
Mm-hmm.
I think behind one of the doors, we hear part of the conversation from when Vivian invited everybody out for drinks.
Ooh, love that.
And specifically, I think we hear Vivian's voice saying something. I'm not sure what, but.
That would require that I remember what was in that conversation.
Right. We did extrapolate a lot of it, to be fair.
Yeah. A good portion of it was about Marius.
Yeah.
We were just shit-talking Marius.
Yeah, Telenor was specifically not shit-talking Marius.
Yeah. That's true. That's what, the clarification was, people bitching about Marius's personality, not their work ethic or qualifications.
Marius looks a little offended.
Not an untrue word was said.
I think Vivian turns to Telenor. And I think there's a realization that they're getting something that he'd already spotted or had noticed with the smell. And so there's phrasing I'm trying to figure out here. As they say to you, what's the call, Colonel? And Telenor kind of hears that not in their voice, but in a voice that the old Telenor would have heard back when he was a colonel.
I think he flinches. I think he covers it really quickly afterwards, but I think Vivian notices.
Yeah.
And he says, he kind of looks around the little landing, and he looks like he's about to point at one of the what seems to be a bedroom door of and then he stops. Where's Rebel?
What a segue.
Beautiful, I love it. Important question. August, did Marius follow everybody up the stairs as well?
Yes, they did. And they caught the echo of the conversation that people were bitching about them and looked incensed.
Right. You mentioned that.
I assumed that was just August vibing with Marius.
No, Marius is there and looks incensed at what they overheard.
And I think down in the main room, Rebel had a moment to himself to just freak out about, oh God, Fee can read my mind, possibly. ? Maybe. Definitely seems like it. And then was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out of here. And right when Telenor asks, where's Rebel? The door they were pointing at slams open and Rebel comes through.
I like that.
Very good. Very good.
And I think I'll draw a card now.
All I can think of is that fucking holy fuck, mom. What the, like, just the holy fuck mean? But you're just like opening the door for the room that you're in and going, holy fuck. And then there's this new room behind you.
And hysterically, I've got the Ten of Diamonds. Ten is a betrayal of trust. Diamonds is willpower, good luck, discovery, a second wind, greed. And, so, I think, like, Rebel bursts out of the presumably bedroom door and looks visibly startled to see everybody, because what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then looks up at the ceiling, flips off the ceiling, and says, fuck you. And then tries to head for the stairs.
Fee will glance at them, getting out of the way, to be clear. And we'll just say, trying to leave, aren't you?
Like, I just need you to imagine one of those, like, scrolling light things, like you see on, like, ticker tapes or whatever. Just imagine that, the inside of Rebel's head, and it just says, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
That was said out loud so everyone could hear it, by the way, if anyone else would also like to react to that.
Yeah.
Because even if the oh fuck is just in Rebel's head, I imagine they look a little guilty of being caught out, perhaps. I don't want to speak for them.
More annoyed, I think.
Fair.
I think Marius looks a little disdainful, but not necessarily at Rebel herself, but just kind of in general, and says, while I appreciate the urge to leave, I don't think this place will let us do so easily. It's best that we stick together. This house, this place knows about these other memories that we seem to have, or just as possibly put those memories there. We but are, unfortunately,
I don't like you. And Vivian is a fucking liar. Fee can read minds. Talanor is possibly the only decent person in this entire group. And
he frowns.
I think Fee is also frowning. We'll just say, oh, fuck you.
That fuck you directed at?
Oh, very much a Rebel who just out loud did the equivalent of like calling everybody out. peak mean girl energy. Love that for them.
I think Rebel actually turns and does a very elaborate asshole bow at Fee. Because they actually want Fee to like them less.
You don't have to like someone to work with them under stressful circumstances.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fee, I think Fee is bless. Fee just steps a little bit closer to Rebel and just like, it's not my fault you were in love with me and couldn't do anything about it. That's your shit, not mine.
Oh, the look Rebel gives Fee?
What? It's not about me, is it? It's about you, right?
Sorry, I need a second to think of what Rebel says.
Absolutely. I'm going to want to get that.
Because I know I have figured out Rebel's like motives on this. I just need to figure out like how Zay communicates this.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, Shrug. I know you were planning on having Vivian have conflict with Rebel about stuff, and it appears that Doug decided to pick a fight.
Oh no, you might. That just means you might get help later.
Two thumbs up.
Gosh. I think, like, Rebel really doesn't have the words to explain, and, like, very quickly, like, realizes that they don't have the words to explain, because it's a combination of things. One of them is, like this very clear and distinct fear that if they approach Fee in any sort of way, Gibber will make something unpleasant happen to the relationship or to Fee specifically. Mm-hmm. And there is also the fact that Rebel actively does not want Fee to return their
feelings.
Yeah. I decided that Rebel is lithromantic and so would actually be like disgusted if Fee did return the feelings, or maybe not disgusted, but just like put off for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Rebel is quickly like, I don't have the words for this, and then just sort of mentally shoves all of that at Fee. And and then just sort of does a what do you do gesture and says, congrats, you win. As in, you win the argument.
You should also add a room to the map, Doug. From
oh,
where
I should. Yes, I.
You can maybe add it between the landing and the main room. Like here-ish.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Thinking as, I don't know how big the room is, because you left the main room to onto the landing.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends if you want to go back into that space.
No. I have, that's a good idea. I have, it was my thought that the bedroom was over here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So So is this the delightfully tense moment that we cut to commercial on?
I think so.
Yeah, for sure.